Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to welcome everyone this evening to the Hagman Report again, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard they try. I told you they were trying. I told you, and they are, of course, we're no longer on YouTube. Screw them. And if that's offensive, I don't care. We are on Brighteon. All that, it doesn't matter. Plus, we have our own redundancy built in. If something would happen there, we've got our own system. So go to HagmanReport.com, HagmanReport.com, bookmark that. And from there, top, you can hit Hagman Report Live. It'll take you to a different page. And you can see our videos there. Brighteon, you can go directly. We're also on Parler. Myself, Douglas Hagman, which is representative of the Hagman Report, as well as Randy Taylor USA on Parler. It's good to be there. It's good to be out of the throes, or not dependent on the throes of the fascists at YouTube and the fascists at Twitter and Facebook and all that. You know, a couple of things out of the gate. Number one, Biden is not the president-elect. And as a matter of fact, Real Clear Politics last night backed away Pennsylvania, I believe it was. His electors obviously took away the electors accordingly. He is not the president-elect. Kamala Harris, you're not the vice president-elect. So DNI Radcliffe is not. As well, they are not briefing Biden on the intelligence issues. We're dealing with an amendment issue here as well. We're dealing with the Article 2 or the constitutional issue. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution deals with the electors. And by the way, the electors being 270 in the majority, states have until December 8th of this year to certify their results or have their legislatures appoint electors to the Electoral College. The Electoral College this year convenes on December 14th. That means simply stated, if you're paying attention to our Wednesday shows with Richard Proctor, Dr. Richard Proctor from Provost Institute, and you have the book Saving the Constitution, you know that deals with the electors of the 26 Republican legislatures, the state 26 states that have Republican legislatures. They could say, well, okay, you know what? You haven't certified Mr. or Ms. Secretary of State. Like Bookvar in Pennsylvania, you haven't certified. Well, you know, here's what we'll do. We're going to select our own electors, and they're going to vote for President Trump. And that's how it could very well go. Or you could have SCOTUS or Supreme Court issues, rulings, President Trump, the campaign of President Trump Incorporated versus Catherine Bookvar, I believe it is. The Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. v. Kathy Bookvar. By the way, have you seen what a putz she is with respect to some of the tweets she did in 2016? Huh. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, with me to talk about this and more is Randy Taylor. Of course, Randy Taylor, part of the Hagman Report. I want to thank him for being part of the Hagman Report, and thank you so much for being part of today's program. Just let's rock.
All right. How are you, buddy?
Not well.
You there?
Not well.
Not well. I don't think anybody's well. Nobody's well right now with being in purgatory here on the elections.
You know, we have to fight, though. We got to fight, don't we? We've got to – this – how in the hell – you explain to me, Mr. Taylor, explain to me how these people have one flipping job to do. They got one job.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of like that show from Seinfeld about the car rental thing. You know, you got one job. You reserve the car, you know.
That was it.
Do you remember that episode? Okay. You know, it's so you got one job to do, and that's to collect the votes and then count the votes. I guess maybe two. I don't want to complicate matters, and then certify the results. That's all. But no, you gotta.
It makes you wonder how long this has been going on.
Gee,
not really. That part of it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I think that in the end, when everything's said and done, one, I think that they're making a big mistake treating Biden like he is the new president, because he's not. And to be honest with you, I don't think he will be. I think when this plays out in the courts, especially if it ends up in front of the Supreme Court, there's going to be a lot of things are going to come into play. The Supreme Court's going to have to simplify everything. Okay. And what we did, and we talked about this before, this should not have been pulled off like it was. There should have been some sort of trial run, something implemented, so we wouldn't have this catastrophe. In some states, you've got them counting votes before election day. Other states, they can't count the votes until election day. Then you got states that are counting votes after election day. And the one thing I said in every one of those sentences is election day, not election week, not election month. And this is where things have gotten out of hand. I think it was exactly as predicted. We said that Trump was really good on election night, and then they would start counting these ballots floating in. And herein, there came the problem. There's a whole bunch of problems, actually. The fact that the software that they use, the Dominion software that they use in the voting machines, is very questionable just unto itself. Okay. And I had read somewhere that between the years of 2015 or 16 or something up till 18, that the Clinton Foundation was involved.
Oh, yeah.
In a philanthropist role.
Yeah.
With the saw. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And the connection to Feinstein and the connection to Pelosi. Yeah. You can't make this crap up.
In the Electoral College, the names that you gave me some names there. The whole thing stinks.
How is it that Hillary Clinton is an elector? Okay. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Pelosi's person and Feinstein's relative, you know?
It just tells me the whole deal is corrupt. There's a lot of problems there. And then they talk about this CIA software. And they could sit there and deny that. And I'm not saying for one second that the actual CIA had anything to do with this. Somebody who had access to that program has pulled something.
Yeah.
And if you asked me, and if I had to just point blindly into a group of people and say it was him, I'd be looking at John Brennan real hard.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I agree.
Real hard. Okay.
Yep.
The other thing is he's been really, really silent lately. And I have no doubt. And they keep talking about glitches. That's not a glitch, okay? That's called a program feature when you can roll back votes.
Thanks. And
change votes. That's not a glitch. If it was a glitch, it would have been, oops, look, some went to Trump. Oops, some went to Biden. No, in this case, every glitch, came up with votes for Biden. And we're talking enormous blocks. I just took pictures with my iPhone as the vote numbers were changing when they had the five states up there. And I couldn't believe every time I look up there and take another picture, the amount of votes that had changed. Now, they were telling me they were having all this trouble counting votes, but in minutes they were doing record-setting counting. and changing vote numbers. I mean, the whole thing, and the fact that the media, and here's the problem with us. You and I talked about this too. They shouldn't even be doing this on election night, this tabulating votes.
Right.
This shouldn't even be going on. It should be the end of when it's all over, we find out. All right. But because it creates that, just as Trump had mentioned, you know, you're standing in line and you're right, looking at your iPhone and Trump's getting smeared across the board. You know, he's down 20,000 and you look in line and, you know, you're 22 people back. It's freezing outside and you go, you know what? We've been beat, and you go home. They shouldn't be allowed to do this. That is election tampering.
Yep.
The fact that the media, and I don't even know when this came into play, that the media is sitting there making these calls. You know, I was looking at a couple of them. They had 3% of the vote in. Trump way ahead in numbers over Biden, but they're calling it for Biden. They had 3% of the vote in.
I know.
So what does this tell us, class? Somebody knows what the rest of those votes are. And you can't even at 3% tell me, well, this is a reasonable pattern. We were able to judge this from a pattern. You don't have a pattern at 3%. Okay? You barely have an entry at 3%.
That's right.
And I just remember sitting there looking at it. I know that they're really not even talking about Virginia, but I would go back and tear Virginia up too. Not just the states that they're looking at.
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
needs to go, because somebody was backtracking that night on Virginia.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
And see, that's not even part of the discussion today. And I'll be honest with you, man, I'd go back to the very first state, Maine or whatever it was. And the other one I always have a question is, what the hell is the problem in Vermont? It always takes, there's what, 6 people in Vermont, you know, that live there, and you guys take forever turning in your vote. Every election cycle, same thing. Well, we're waiting on Vermont. There's nobody in Vermont.
I know,
I don't get it. I don't, the whole thing has turned into a circus, and I'll tell you right now, the votes were changed in the computers.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. They could cut off the say, okay, boom, we counted these people and blah, blah, blah. The damage was done before they even started talking about absentee ballots and mail-in voting and all that. The damage was already being done in the computers.
Right.
Because that stuff is hard to go back and find.
Right.
Those ballots are still sitting at remote locations. You know what I'm saying? The trunks of people's cars.
Yep.
Or in the case of the U.S. mail system, in a dumpster somewhere. So you can't, the damage is the electronics. And Brennan, Clapper, Obama, all of these guys, every one of them would do anything to keep Trump from getting back into office, because if he gets in for the next 4 years, which he will, their ass is in the breeze.
Well, okay. And I think, see,
and they know it.
Yeah, I agree. And you pointed me that when I spoke to you early this morning, you were watching, McCabe getting, grilled by.
He's still getting grilled.
All right. Believe it or not, I was listening to Supreme Court arguments on the Affordable Care Act. But anyway, because I have a thing with Fox News now, I'm not. I mean, Neil Cavuto can kiss my boots, you know, for what he did to the press secretary. What was it yesterday? But I'm done with them. I'm done. I'll watch Tucker. I'll watch maybe Hannity, and I'll watch
Levin. Mark Levin.
But anyway. Here's a couple of things that concern me right now. And I believe that President Trump won. You can't tell me a 96-mile caravan in Arizona and, you know, gee whiz, it's, undecided. Okay. Anyway, And I get, look, I understand the nuances there, but so one thing that kind of tipped this, something went off in my brain here about Esper being, you know, you're gone. Mark Esper, Department, Secretary of Defense. And him, President Trump bringing in the acting Secretary of Defense, who happens to be a counterinsurgency, counterintelligence expert here, to take his place. That tells me that there's something domestically kind of he wants to protect. That's me. That's my thought. I don't know. Because I don't know anything. But
I was watching Trump's behavior like at the golf course. I was like, that's pretty cool. That's what I would have done. I would have been golfing. Knowing, I mean, you have to exhibit that sort of confidence. And I believe he has the right to be that confident. I think what he needs to do is he's made his point on Twitter about election tampering or yes. About the votes. I got that. They need to look, and really, he could back off right now. Okay. It isn't like he's going to win anybody over at this point. Okay. We're already on his side. Roll with that. Be assured in that. Okay. Shut up and just roll with this. Let your people do their job. Barr, everybody's getting really, really excited about, well, you know, Barr is going to look into things that require. Don't get too excited about that. Because there was a caveat in there, and the caveat was if they qualified.
Right, right.
Nobody's saying that, and everybody's running crazy, and you know the trusters of the plan. You know, I love those guys. Your plan sucks. Okay, and then saying, well, this was a gigantic sting operation.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Where's the sting? Yeah,
that was. I know the sting hasn't stung yet. I guess. But anyway, everybody needs to just sit back, take a deep breath, okay? Stay loyal, pray, okay? And let justice take its course, all right? I think that the next month is going to be very interesting. The other thing that I would do if I were the president and the Justice Department, I would go and seize the computers of the states in question. Because anytime you go into a computer, even with a program such as this block and or hammer and scorecard, there's a footprint in there. Now, you may be really good at disguising the footprint, but if someone's gone in and done something, there's a digital footprint. There is a trace. It can be found. Now, it'll take the best of the best probably to find it, because some of the best are the ones that set up this program. People need to also keep in mind the Central Intelligence Agency, like I said, I am not insinuating one bit that they're directly involved in this, but their software is. Okay?
There you go.
It's just like if I decide to go on the dark web and pick up a copy of Black Snake software, that doesn't make the guy that invented Black Snake software the guy that perpetrates the crime. I'm going to take that software and I'm going to go commit a crime. That makes me guilty. So that's why I would be looking at Brennan. One, I don't trust Brett Brennan as far as I can spit. Okay. Not that I wouldn't try and spit right in his face if I ever met him face to face. No, I'd do more than that. I can't stand that guy. Okay. I think he is so anti-American that he shouldn't even be living on our soil. Okay. That is a very foul, disturbed little man. And I say little man, and I hope he's watching, because I just called you a little man, a little punk. Okay. Come find me, buddy. The people like that make me sick. And that James Clapper, this was Clapper's last stand, in my opinion, because if he gets found out and behind this election stuff, he's already in trouble. I always said that out of everybody that was involved in the Russiagate, Clapper will be the one that rolls over. because he's old. And he knows that if he was found guilty and put in prison, he would die in prison. Okay. Now, I don't know what they plan on doing to these guys. I hope something. I wish that what I was watching on TV today with between Lindsey Graham and McCabe and Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, he did fantastic. Marsha Blackburn pretty much handed him his ass, and I thought that was pretty awesome on her part. I really liked that lady. That McCabe is a snake. Comey. These people are snakes.
Yes.
They've been snakes for a long time. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the FBI is bad. They are not. They are not. I know field agents. I know analysts. They're not up in that upper echelon that has somehow turned on the country. And I don't even know how they became members of that club. This Hate in America club. And I don't know. It's so, when you look at this, if it's so devastating to see what's going on in our country. Devastating. I mean, it, you can't even imagine. I can't even imagine how it got this far out of hand. That blows my mind when I sit there and I look at the corruption on every level. And that's why I'm hoping that the corruption part, the criminality part of this needs to be dealt with. If Biden goes in office, it will never be dealt with. Okay. His son will also get away with all the crap he's pulling. That's why it's imperative that Donald Trump is back in office. But when he regains office, some things need to be done. Okay. One, this election process has to be cleaned up. We can't do this again. And people are going, well, you didn't have any problem 4 years ago when it was Hillary Clinton. No. And I'll tell you why. They thought they had it in the bag.
Yeah.
They weren't ready for Trump. They weren't ready. If they thought Donald Trump was actually going to make a showing 4 years ago, this scenario would have played out 4 years ago.
That's true. Which surprises me why it's playing out today.
Because of the mile-long convoys and the eight-mile-long convoys, because of the boat parades. That's why.
To me, okay, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I get that. And I believe that each and every one of us has to make so much friggin' noise and we have to show up, okay? Believe me, there's going to be, for example, there's going to be a march on Washington that Twitter is censoring. Parler is not. You're on Parler, but this Saturday, okay? I believe it is. Folks, look it up yourself. Okay. I don't know the day or whenever. I think that why didn't President Trump, and this is my question to you, why didn't we, anticipate this cheating?
Well, now when you start talking about computer hacking, okay. We also talked about having immigration officers and law enforcement at every polling station. The whole thing went out the window. Trump knew this was going to happen, I honestly believe. Okay? Because, I mean, start looking at it. We went from going down there and voting in one day to sending out piles of ballots to people that didn't even ask for them. Lord knows where they actually went to or signed and sent back from. Okay? All this mail-in balloting by requested ballots, by absentee ballots, drive-through voting, which wasn't even authorized.
Right.
Okay. We're, you know what? It would be amazing if the government took the same viewpoint at tax time that they did on voting day.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, because when they tell you April 15th at midnight, they don't give a rat's ass if you were in the middle of a hurricane.
Yep.
You better be your stuff better be on time. So I make no exceptions for the voting.
Plus, exactly. Yeah.
We went and changed a style of voting. Okay, they're talking about in the future voting on your iPhone. They're actually talking about that.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, but that's the point. That is the point. This, the electronic aspect of this is not safe. And these machines, this is the other thing. We don't know exactly who owns the companies that these machines even came from, the voting machines. They say Soros.
Well, that's one.
I'm going to say I don't know because I can't prove that. Okay. But what if there was some truth to that? And it doesn't even have to be George Soros. We know that it's not one corrupt person that's ruining our country. It's a bunch of them. We don't know who owns the machine. We don't know who supplied the machines. The software is obviously faulty and it can be penetrated. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. So if SCOTUS gets involved, they're going to have to go back and they really can't look at the criminality of it because that's for the criminal courts. They're going to have to look at the procedural aspect of this. And someone's going to have to say, at this point, it was cut off time and that was that. Anything counted after that is gone. It doesn't count.
And I think that's what they're going for from a Supreme Court.
That's what they have to.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. But yeah. There has to be a cutoff point. I mean, because the way they're doing it, and especially where these postmasters were telling people, oh, go back and mark the votes is coming in on election day, you know, the ballots, postmark them for that day. Well, you know what? It could have been people sitting at home at 9 o'clock that night going, oh, wow, Biden's losing. Quick, go throw my ballot in the mail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the whole thing. The whole process was corrupt. If it were me, I'd make everybody go back and do it again, personally. And that would be you will vote in person or you will not vote.
Yeah.
You will have ID or you will not vote.
Right.
That's why the Supreme Court's going to have to step in and this, you know, until every vote is counted. Yeah, every legal vote.
Every legal vote. That's right.
But that's the key. And where is the determination going to be on what was legal and what's illegal? And when are people going to be able to go in and do forensic analysis on the software and see when this hammer and scorecard or another program entered the system? I don't even think it was this hammer and scorecard because it's known. It'd have to be something else, a variant of.
Well, Hammer was the reportedly the software. Scorecard was the exploit, and that's. But you're right; it had to be. Yes, you're correct in what you just said, but yeah, I think this is the only way out of this I can see because of all of the for example, you've got right now, and the Epoch Times has done a great job on this. Where do you even start? You've got more than 10,000 dead people casting ballots in Michigan, for example. You've got you've got 450,000 votes voting for Biden and no one else. How do you even separate?
That and another one was where you have more voters than there were people on the voter rolls, yeah. And they go and they say. Well, yeah, but we just registered today. I'm sorry. If you were supposed to register a month before that, then guess what? You were supposed to register a month before that. Just because you showed up on voting day and voted, that don't mean jack to me.
But the states allowed that. There were a few states that allowed same-day registration.
But herein lies the problem.
There it is, yes.
See, and that's where an authority is going to have to step in and say, look, that's where the fraud can begin, and therefore it's unacceptable. And that's where I think the Supreme Court's going to have to jump into this.
Well, yeah.
The criminal courts are all, you could have 20 criminal courts tomorrow find 1,000 people guilty. That still doesn't keep Trump as president. The only thing that's going to keep him in as president is a procedural ruling from the Supreme Court, in my humble opinion.
And I think that's where we're headed because of what, and folks, you have to understand what the Democrats did, the left did from 2016 until 2020. they brought hundreds by state of lawsuits that eliminated or tried to eliminate or successfully eliminated the security measures on absentee ballots, for example. On there was no mail-in. I mean, mail-in ballots were exceptions, not an okay thing, not, yeah, you want to mail them in? Here, we're going to just flood the market with mail-in ballots. That wasn't a thing before this. So they've done everything to get rid of fraud protections of our elections. And that's the left for you. Mm-hmm. And only here in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, by the way, what a bunch of black robe tyrants. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, well, you don't have to match signatures. You don't worry about the postmark. We'll give you 3 extra days, you know, through a deadline. Yeah. So, really? So you got until Friday. Yeah. You know, if it's postmarked, and that was a big thing with the postman here in Erie. And folks, you know, we're more than that. Let me just tell you this. We're more than a microphone and I'm more than a whiner. Okay. We are an investigative agency and I was in contact with, the Trump, lawyers and saying, hey, you know, I'm up here in Erie County. We're up here in Erie County. We got a team ready to go, whatever you need. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll just say there's more coming about that, but, I don't know, but you're right. I mean, but by the way, this, I don't know. Go ahead. Just take it wherever you want to take it. I lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking about the different programs too that the CIA uses. There's a thing you can go to and look up, Wikipedia or WikiLeaks. Go there and look up Vault 7, V-A-U-L-T, Vault 7.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes into some of the programs that the CIA uses. Now, bear in mind, these are programs that were exposed by WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
There's far more programs than that. But there's no – it's almost as if the entire voting thing – there's a couple changes I would make. One, I would get the partisan aspect out of it. No more – to where the, and I forget what we call the person, what is Wasserman Schultz? What's her title? It's a director of elections or something. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she has a position and she's a Democrat. That shouldn't even be part of this. There shouldn't be a Democrat or GOP that's in charge of counting votes. Supervisor of elections, I think they call it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There shouldn't be. Okay, that should be a neutral position. That should also be a position that, even though it's a state, and even though it's a republic that we're part of, it needs to be federally governed, federally run. Okay? And if you're going to participate, you will adhere to the federal mandates. You will adhere to whatever program the federal government tells you to use. Okay, there shouldn't be a state by state where we're going to use, you know, Dominion over here, and over here we're going to use Omega. No, everybody uses the same thing. Also, to where I, you know, in Washington, D.C., I can sit there and pull up any machine I want at any time and watch what's going on in that machine.
You're saying that you should be allowed to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because
that should be. That should fall under law enforcement.
Okay, because that was a big thing in I think it was in Detroit, where they found that the computers were connected to the internet after, you know, people said, oh, no, they're not. And, well, yeah, they are.
Of course they are.
But that shouldn't have been. There's an intranet, not an internet connectivity.
Right.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah, but if you're dialing out wireless, you know, on a wireless connection, or any kind of connection, we can tap you.
Sure.
You can be internet. You can be internet. You can be any net you want. Okay. somebody can tap in and see. Plain and simple. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If Pentagon computers can be compromised.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure a voting machine can be taken down.
Well, last year, I don't know whether it was Dominion or one of the other machines or structures, infrastructure machines for voting was hacked by a 9-year-old girl in the.
I have no doubt. No doubt at all, especially in today's day and age. If I don't want to know, if I want to know how something works in my house electronically, mm-hmm. I go get my kid.
Mm-hmm.
I say, hey, how does this work? You know?
Believe me. Yeah, I
go back and I wonder how long the fraud's been going on. My other question to the left is, and I know I've thrown this at that, you know, my favorite congressman, Ted Lieu, on Twitter constantly, is he's constantly whining about this, whining about that. My question to my favorite Chinese congressman is, if you have nothing to hide, what are you worried about being investigated for?
There you go.
If you accused me of a crime, and I know I did not commit that crime, I would encourage you to investigate because I want to clear my name. I want to cast all dispersions aside. I don't want any doubts. And if I was the left, especially considering who Donald Trump is, I would definitely say, okay, come in, check it out. That way, when you want to go to the office on the 20th and march him out, at least you might have some grounds to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want us looking. They don't want law enforcement involved. They don't want to be questioned on this. And how dare we even, you know what? We've looked at what you people have done for the last 4 years. You've done everything but try and assassinate the man.
Yep.
Do you honestly think you wouldn't be questioned? And you're going to get questioned. And when it's all said and done, I hope heads roll. I really do. This has got to be fixed because, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, if you're listening to this, you should be concerned.
Absolutely.
You should be concerned. Now, I've actually seen some Democrats in some of the comments on social media that said, you know what? Donald Trump has a right to look into this. And you know, if it's found to be, then it needs to be dealt with. But if it's disproven, then he needs to leave office. And I think that that's what every American should say. Okay? If they go through, and I'm talking honest investigations, not the type of investigations that we unfortunately have become accustomed to as Americans, where somebody just says, yes, we investigated and everything's cool. You know, kind of like that jerk McCabe we were watching on TV today. That guy, and it was funny because they were Kennedy and Graham. They were all asking him, what should be done as punishment to somebody that would allow this to happen, which would be him. And it was just funny watching him squirm because truthfully, the guy gets fired and then goes to work for CNN. Okay. He should be doing some time. He should be in jail. He should have been prosecuted. And he sits there and goes, well, you know, I didn't know specifically this and I didn't know specifically that.
But by the way,
you're in charge, dude.
You know, that question that you just said, what do you think should be the punishment for someone that gets caught doing this? Mm-hmm. That question is one of the top five profiling questions to a suspect in an interview. That according to the Reed mm-hmm. technique in interviews and interrogation. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on how you answer that question, how a suspect answers that question. If the person says, well, you know, it depends. Okay. If they hedge, you better take a really hard look at that person on the other end of the table. And if they say, oh, cut their, you know, off, you know, and hand it to them in a jar or, you know, give me 5 minutes with them, then it's different. Then you've got, yeah. So anyway, I just want to toss it out to, because some people may not know that. That's an investigative technique used by police officers and profilers. Go ahead.
Well, the part that bothers me is, you know, Graham beats on the guy and then they hand it over to Feinstein and she does everything but reach under the table and make friends with the guy. You know what I'm saying? It's, it's so sad that law and order doesn't even matter anymore. It's all partisan. You know, and it was, what was funny was when Graham brought up Feinstein's office manager, the Chinese spy.
Yeah.
He actually brought it up. I was drinking coffee, about choked on my coffee. I was like, cool. Because people like that walk around unscathed. And people like that, the Feinsteins of this world, the Pelosis, they shouldn't be in office. They shouldn't be anywhere near the legislative bodies of the United States of America. Their judgment, their integrity has been compromised. Their judgment is in question. And they have no sense of the black and white regarding law, the laws of the land. The laws of the land are pretty black and white. And they like to, when a politician's in trouble, they delve for those gray areas. And I don't even understand that. I don't understand people that would vote for Feinstein. I don't understand somebody that would give Nancy Pelosi a vote. I wouldn't pee in her mouth for tonsils were on fire. Okay. I don't like the lady at all. And that lady, female. All right. I don't understand where we've gone as a people that we allow this stuff. I don't get it. So when I look at the elections coming under scrutiny and being followed up, it's just in one part of me, it doesn't surprise me. Okay. My only question is, how long has this been going on? And you can't compare it really to 4 years ago, because 4 years ago, nobody saw Trump coming. They honestly thought that, yep, Clinton had it in the bag. That was the end of it. Because if they thought Trump was actually going to make a showing, this would have already played out 4 years ago.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do understand that. I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're saying, well, you guys don't have any problems with the fact that Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham got reelected. But if they were in there fraudulently, then I don't want them there. I don't care if they're GOP or not. I want honest, true elections. Okay? Eventually now, this is the king, Randy Taylor speaking.
You do look regal based on your background, by the way. I don't know what that is, but
that's my China cabinet.
Okay.
I put the flag up so nobody can see all the liquor in there.
Oh, okay.
I'll
take one too.
Okay. The
sorry, the regal Randy Taylor. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes. What's going to happen is one day it's possible that we're going to be so overrun with liberal slugs that we're not even going to want to have fair elections anymore. Okay. That'll be the step down the road. But I honestly think that today, the majority of the people, it might not be a vast majority, but the majority of Americans want to do the right thing. Okay? And I think the right thing lies with the GOP. I for a variety of reasons. Primarily because I don't think the government needs to be running everybody's lives. I just don't think so. I also have a problem with killing babies in the womb, which is a hallmark. That's the one thing that you heard more than, there were two things you heard. ACA, the Affordable Care Act,
yep,
and about abortion,
yep,
were the two things surrounding this latest thing when Barrett was going to be sworn in. You know, when they were going into those hearings.
A third illegal immigration as well.
Oh, well, yeah, those things were really paramount.
Yes.
The Affordable Care Act, I think, is a curse on America.
Yep.
Okay. I think that it should implode and start over. Okay. And any party that gets behind killing babies in the womb. I don't want anything to do with you. You shouldn't even be a party. I can't believe as human beings, as humans on God's earth, that we're even talking about that, that that's even an option. I don't. Where have we gone, man? What have we done? We're so far off course. And then I said, you know, can we reel this back in? You know, is there?
I don't think there's any historical. I didn't mean to over talk you.
No, go ahead.
But I don't think there's been any historical precedent to any country, any empire, anyone coming back from where we're at.
That's what I'm saying. Doesn't that scare you, Doug?
Yes, it does. It does. Oh, it scares me a whole lot, which so that brings me to the point because I want to, here's what I believe. I believe Steve Bannon said this on this program. We owe it to not only our children and those, our children's children, but we owe it to those who came before us. Those who died on the beaches of Normandy, those who died in wherever, in whatever foreign entanglement, wherever in defense of liberty, we owe it to them. We owe it to our forefathers who sacrificed everything to engage in this battle. If we don't, not only are we a bunch of knuckleheads, we're a bunch of cowards, and we're not following, in my view, we're not following God's mandate of get off your ass and do something. I'm giving you, you know, the time to do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And see, a couple more things. I'm going to shut up. I believe that President Trump, like you, I believe that he won the election. I believe that the left, not Democrats, because they're all communists anyway, or socialists, a degree of communist or socialist. I believe that they have sullied the process, whether it's on a county or a state level or a federal level, so much that they're embracing socialism to their own detriment and demise and the country's demise. That the only way I can see this working out is we have a victory for President Trump legally, legitimately, based on a SCOTUS ruling or perhaps any combination of various things. And if the left acts up, it is our duty to water the tree of liberty accordingly, because the left is making up friggin' lists. AOC's making up a list. Put me on it. Okay, that Jennifer Rubin, that in my view, that I can't say what I want to say, making up a list. And you know, people used to laugh saying, oh, there are no lists being made up. You know, well, my ass, there's no list. And again, pardon the profanity, but I don't care anymore. Now it's a do or die moment. And if we don't do, we are going to die. It's that simple. Go ahead. You can finish it out. I'm pretty much done.
No, you're right. And there is a list. There's many lists. You're on the list. I'm on the list. There's Quayle's on the list. There's list. Believe me. The thing is, we have to keep the people that want to do something about those lists. We got to keep them out of power. Look, even if Trump gets back in, the battle isn't over. The battle's just starting. Okay. I think that we're going to have to go about waging the battle a little differently. We're going to have, you know, you see people out there going, you know, saying, oh, they're trying to do a coup against Biden. Well, one, in order to do a coup, the old man would have to be president. He's not. Okay. And unless my calculations are off, but the last 4 years, even a little bit longer than that, the left has been engaged in a coup against the duly elected and recognized president of the United States. So the left, all the left is doing right now is digging a hole. Okay. Several holes. They really don't want us to react. If we were to react, I'm talking about conservative Christians nationwide, were to react, it would take every bit of probably 48 hours and tons of body bags and this country would be cleaned up.
That's right.
And I listen, now that sounds harsh, but and I'm a simple man. Okay, I'm a well-trained simple man. But I'm good for 30, 40, 50. I'm just one guy.
Toss me in the
So mix. Anytime you want to take it to the street, call the ball.
Well, I think and that's going to be called for us.
That's the thing. There's going to come a point. It's just like a dog in a corner. If you push the dog in the corner, you sit there and kick the dog. Even the mildest, quietest dog is sooner or later going to lash out and bite you. It's a matter of when. And my old man always told me, beware the wrath of a patient man. Out of all the advice he gave me in life, there's five or six things I really remember. And I do remember him telling me that. He said, beware of the wrath of a patient man. And I was just a little guy. And I said, well, why, Dad? And he said, because he's going to let you push him. But when he reacts, it'll be biblical. And I think I was probably 10 when my dad told me that. And I always remembered that. And I remember different times in life watching people push somebody. Even at school, you know, watching somebody harass somebody. And when that person finally snapped and went off, I mean, it wasn't pretty. I mean, it wasn't pretty at all. And I sit there and I think about it and I'm like, and these little snots, they're running around here, these little Antifas and the BLMs and the, you know, the anarchists. And you know what? You people are punks. You are little baby punk pukes. Okay? Because man on man, we got you.
Yep.
So I'm just going to suggest that they call it a day and change their ways. But another thing, did you know what happened to the deal where they were all going to go on election night and throw Trump out of the White House?
Well, I think,
wait a minute now. We watched that for how long on the computer?
Yeah.
Saying, you know, once you voted, report here.
Right. And some did, actually. I think there were a couple of dozen that did.
But what happened to all the violent protests and all, Doug?
So that's a good question.
Anybody that's sitting there and doesn't want to tie the Democrats to the violence is stupid. They're stupid people. You can tell that they're all directly related. So now I even have to go in and say, from a political aspect, what politicians on the left were behind all the rioting and all that in Portland and Seattle and these Democrat strongholds. Think about it now.
Yeah.
Somebody had to be given the command for it not to happen. Right?
Yeah.
So if someone gives the command for something not to happen, that same person also gives the command for something to happen.
That's right.
You can't separate the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, and did you notice on election night, I was watching as the polls closed on the West Coast. It's like, okay, the polls are closed, and all of a sudden, California, boom, Oregon, boom, Washington, boom, lit up blue.
Yeah.
They didn't have a single vote in, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. I mean, it was like a gunshot. I was like, what? There was, you know what I'm saying? I never even saw any vote numbers out of those states. Did you?
Not on election night, and not until and that's kind of a blur to me, by the way.
But think about it. It was like, boom, boom, boom. They just lit up in one thing, and then they went back to something else. And I was like, what? I mean, we don't even, because I was looking to at least see something going on in California, because there's a lot of California patriots who are getting out and doing something vote wise. And we never even really got to see any numbers that night. So the whole election night was screwed up. And the media, they need to pull that back from whatever these little organizations are in the media that go, that make these decisions that, well, this is how it's going to play out. That all needs to be stripped away. Because the pollsters were wrong on everything.
I can't believe that. If I was a pollster today, well, I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
I wouldn't tell anybody. I would find a new job and, you know, it'd be the end of it. But,
And what happened to Fox News? They went, man, they just like turned over a leaf for the wrong side.
I don't know.
Amazing. I mean, there's that one guy that looks like Alfred E. Newman, Brett Baer, that guy. He does. That's every time I see him, I think Alfred E. Newman. I'm from Mad Magazine.
Brett Baer.
Yeah, he looks just like him. Right. I look at him and not Tucker Carlson. I like Tucker. Who's the other guy? Wow. I don't know. The one that yesterday cut back away from
Neil Cavuto.
Yeah, Cavuto. And I'll be honest with you, I was surprised that Cavuto did that.
I was on Neil Cavuto's show before. It's been a long time.
But I don't know. Doug, I was just really surprised.
I was too.
I just, the things that I've seen, and then they canceled Pirro, Judge Jeanine. They canceled her show on the weekend. I think they fired her.
Well, now, I don't know about that yet. I think so far it's just, I think the jury's out on the fire and on the permanency of that, but I don't know.
I saw a post from her on Twitter, and I believe she said she was fired.
Okay, if that, I haven't been following Twitter yet, sorry, lately.
Yeah, I was on there earlier today. I like to spot check her. There's certain people they say it's like they say, okay, well, don't watch Fox News. Well, I'm one of maybe it's the Italian in my blood, but I believe in. Keeping my friends close, but keeping my enemies closer.
Oh yeah,
I like to stay in there with my finger on the pulse and find out what's going on. So, did I kill the Fox News app? Yes, I did. Okay, will I watch Fox News? Yeah, because there's certain people on there that I do like. Okay, I think some of those people are absolutely in fear for their jobs and really afraid to stand up and go, you know, stick it up your butt. If Roger Ailes was still alive, this wouldn't be happening.
No.
Or Ailes, Roger Ailes, yeah. Excuse me. This wouldn't be happening. One guy that I really do like, and is that Steve Bannon on his show.
Yeah.
And Steve Bannon, I think he firmly believes that Trump's going to make it through this.
No doubt he believes that. Yeah, and I believe him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because these guys know things behind the scenes.
Yep.
But I really think that this is going to fall out in the legal battles. I think that on January 20th, Donald Trump will be sworn into office again. And we're going to have a lot of problems. The only good thing is we did pick up a couple seats in Congress.
Yes.
Thank goodness we did retain the Senate. A victory is a victory.
Yep.
But then you have the problem, like with Romney, and you know, you have a couple people in there.
Yeah.
That Collins.
Yeah.
What, is nobody else up there to run against her? Man, I'd move there just to run her out. She's, I don't know. And that Romney cannot be a man of God.
No.
You know, I know he likes to play like he's some sort of Christian or something. I'm sorry, I have to question your faith, sir. You know, I really do.
It's hard to believe this. I can't believe an hour's gone by. Can you believe an hour's gone by?
You know what? But when we talk, it's just like, you know, when I come and visit you, man, weekends go by fast, you know?
They do.
That's how it is, my friend. But listen, we're running out of time here.
Yeah, we got to 20 seconds.
All right, folks, thank you. I appreciate it. Do what you can. We got a big fight out of us. So swing by the donate page. Throw us a buck or two. We'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Hey, thanks for hanging with me through all the technical difficulties. God bless, brother. We're out of here.
Right on.
Good night.
Later.
And welcome back. This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try. And they're trying hard. Believe me, they are trying hard. I want to thank you so much, everyone, for your support, gracious support. generous support. Otherwise, without you, this platform wouldn't exist. And again, thank you so very, very much. With me right now, Stan Dale from standale.com. That is standale.com. Stan and Holly Dale work tirelessly to bring you the most current of events, whether it's celestial in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, earth changes, or even in the political sphere. That's what Stan does. Also, EMPShield.com. That's Stan's brainchild there, right there, him and his team. That's EMPShield.com/Hagman. EMPShield.com/Hagman. Two ends on Hagman for $50 off, using Hagman as the code as well. That's EMPShield.com/Hagman. But today, StanDale.com, that's the place to be. If you don't have Dare to Prepare yet, you should. Because, A, at the very least, if you don't have a gun, you can use that Dare to Prepare to hit somebody on the head with. And let me tell you what, that would knock them clear to next door. Okay, trust me when I tell you that. But the information between the covers, so important to know today. It's Dare to Prepare. Cosmic Conspiracy as well. Stan Dale's books. All the books, all the DVDs, and certainly become a Patreon of Stan Dale. With that, Stan, how are you, sir?
Good. You know, I assume you're getting the same kind of technical issues we're getting here, or at least a plethora of things going wrong. Computers, apps. This morning started out with things not linking up properly onto the internet, so. How about you? Have you had any little glitches here and there?
I don't call them little glitches. I cannot say what I call them, but let me tell you this. it's been challenging is a charitable word I suppose I could use. It's been rough, yes. It's almost as if, you know, that people don't want this show to go on. I can't believe why not. I mean, you know. We don't insult anyone. We don't offend anyone. We don't talk about anything controversial. I don't know.
Well, you're just tongue in cheek. I know that, but we go up after the show in the evening here and sit in the easy chairs and have dinner and you watch a news replay or maybe something more entertaining like an episode of 24. But, actually that's getting close to what's happening nowadays. Anyway.
Yeah.
Last night I sat down in the chair after, work for the day and, what was that? I thought, my chair's gone lopsided. I thought, these chairs are too new to be, breaking. And I reached down with the little handle to pull my footrest up and that came almost off of my hand. I'm thinking, what the heck? So I had to interrupt our nice, peaceful time, flip the chair on its side to figure out whether it was Allen wrenches or, Phillips heads to screw the handle back on the right angle and put it back up. I'm thinking, I hope this is the end of small annoyances for the day. It'd be nice. But it's just these things that, you can't really prove that it's anything intentional by forces unknown, but that kind of just frustrates.
Yeah. It's the small annoyances too that add up every day. I understand that. I get that. It doesn't have to be one big thing, your car breaking down. No.
Or a cat messing with a cord.
That's even part. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
They do that.
I personally don't care for nor. Well, I'm a dog person. I'll just say that. So,
well, anyway. Holly and I are dog people, but both of us years ago had cats. I had a Siamese cat that stayed with me down the lab back down in Dallas or up in Dallas, down in Dallas, I guess it is. And he was just kind of neat because I could lay on the couch there to think about something and rest my eyes, and he'd be on my chest purring, and of course. I'd be out like a light and think about kind of went to sleep, but several times he'd be down there on the floor or on the desk or something, and all of a sudden his head would jerk and his eyes would focus on something, and he'd follow it across the room or up to the ceiling, and he was looking at something, but there was nothing there. And I often wonder if they've got a range of vision, frequencies they can see that are letting them see through the veil into the nasty things that are hiding from us. So
Doug does that too.
I do that too, Stan. According to Eric, well, he said I do that too.
Well, give him some kitten nibbles or whatever there, you know, some catnip, and Doug will be okay, fine. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when the cat was laying on your chest, he was actually trying to smother you. Okay, that was his plan. He just didn't get the opportunity, apparently, but they're evil. Oh, I'm going to get emails from this now. I know.
All right. You know, it's a departure from the political stuff. I mean, we're even still getting phone calls from these robo things about how you thought about this or would you vote for that? And I'm thinking, just go away. Leave our phones alone. And I'm up to the eyeballs with political stuff, but I know we have to fight what has happened in the vote. It's, definitely a fraud. It's a conspiracy. There's no question about it.
I mean, okay, so you've got Dominion that's got its connections to Hillary and even another program or another line of voting machines with Soros connections. You've got Hammer. You've got a scorecard, HAMR, Dennis Montgomery stuff, which, by the way, that information has been out there for a number of years. But what a mess. But what do you think about? I mean, what a flipping mess. I look at this and I'm thinking, how can you unscrew this? I mean, really, you've got burnt ballots, I'm sure, destroyed ballots. How can you unscrew any of this?
Well, some of it is from witnesses that the Trump administration put into the voting places beforehand for what they could see. And, you know, the fact remains when you have to go to court to get your observers from either party, in this case it was the Republican Party, close enough to be sure the votes are being counted correctly. And then they move the desk back 6 feet after the court gives them the permission to get to within 6 feet. Then they move it back from that barrier. What are they hiding? I mean, you know, it's so obvious that they're hiding something. And this is not a fair election when they do that.
It's true. Yeah, and I did reach out. We've had people, we've been in contact with people from the Trump campaign. Because we're a licensed investigative agency, I've reached out. Here in Erie, Pennsylvania, we had one postal worker that put out a sworn affidavit of backdating ballots by the postmaster general or postmaster here in the local offices. So there's more of that. I'll just say there's more of that. There's more than one post office, more than one location, folks, and there's a lot of this. So
he has to do this. President Trump has to pursue this, right?
Yes, now, absolutely.
They may defeat him in the end, and he'll lose the presidency. But if we are weakened by, you know, civil uprising, which, I mean, even though, you know,
that's coming. That's believe me, that's coming. To me, either way, that's coming.
Yeah, yeah, up where you are, goodness gracious. What we're going to see is the civil war is going to start. What has happened is there's been a fraudulent attempt to take the presidency from President Trump by fixing the voting machines, but it's also the beginning of a slow avalanche for a war, you know, for a civil insurrection. The left are, they're not Americans. They are un-American in their activity on the far left side of it. Even the Democrats, you know, in the House are saying, you know, enough is enough, guys. Get off our back on the left of the Democratic Party. And all this is driving us to split the country, to make conflict all over the country. And it's not, it hadn't even begun yet, you know. Holly on our website on the standale.com on the photo of the day. I'm just looking at it now. It says, Biden's call for unity falls on deaf ears. Now, right out in front of the White House, these clowns have set up these, the protest booth and weird signs that are quite rude, in fact, to President Trump. And this is no way calling for peace. This is a sample of the left and how they behave, you know, violently, you know. And how many times do you see Republicans, you know, conservatives going out and making this kind of demonstration against the left in any function, in any Senate or, you know, House election or whatever? We don't do that. We're more rational. But these people are just crazy. They're irrational, crazy. Anyway,
to me, they're demon possessed morons. I mean, you look at these people, I don't know. The photo of the day, folks, go to standout.com, click on the photo of the day. Just take a look at the caliber of intellect we're dealing with here. What a bunch of crap. I mean, seriously, you got, Stan, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The genes, just that one, the genes, really. I mean, I wouldn't even, if I went to work, I wouldn't wear that. So I don't know. What is that? Fashionable? I don't know. Does she know she's got her knees sticking out? I mean, and I'm sure she's got tattoos and body tats somewhere. I'm sure.
Did Republicans do this during the Obama, Biden, you know, administration? I mean, we disagreed with them, but we did it the right way. And this is just aggressive, violent opposition.
And you know, yeah. This is a leftist takeover. I mean, there's just no way to know that. This is a leftist takeover, a communist takeover from within.
Yeah.
I mean, you look up color revolution. I really think that people like Soros and Soros is just one of many, but I think a lot of this is being funded from families that you mentioned in Cosmic Conspiracy, the groups in Cosmic Conspiracy, overseas money. This makes me sick. And I'll tell you what, I would not shed one tear. I can't say what I want to say. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah. Read your mind. Look, this is an act of war. It's a slow moving act of war that started right after World War II, quote unquote, ended. The communists, a Russian communist, had fifth columnists in here before the end of the war, shaping up organizations and educational facilities and stuff like that to teach socialist and communist doctrines to one, two, maybe three generations of our people, to slowly brainwash everybody into thinking evil is good. And if I were able and I were in a White House, if law permitted, I would declare war on the communist overthrow of this, or attempted overthrow of this government and this country. It's an act of war. What do we have to do to get that declared so that the president can have a free hand to arrest the communist infiltrators?
Glad you brought that up. What do you think of Esper being, I don't want to say fired, but maybe hastily moved out of his office, Esper, the Department of Defense. And the person who replaced him is an expert in counterinsurgency and threats like that we're seeing here in this country. Now, I don't know if that was part of – I don't know what that was. But I can tell you this, the acting Department of Defense person – who. My brain just went. Anyway, that guy is a better fit. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's that position? Secretary of Defense. Thank you, Doug. The Secretary of Defense, current acting Secretary of Defense, is a better fit than Esper was. At least in this circumstance. And I've been getting reports that they've been reinforcing the walls outside of the White House. The walls, not the fencing, but the walls that are in the event of some uprisings. So I'm looking at all of these things and I'm thinking, okay, this is not going to end well. You've got wanton fraud. I mean, my goodness, when you look at the maps, and by the way, Real Clear Politics yesterday backed off of, calling, one of the states, It slips in my mind now for President or for Biden.
Is that Arizona? Because they're pretty close.
Yeah, maybe it was. I don't remember which one, but it was a big deal. No, was it Pennsylvania? It's Pennsylvania. What? It's a place where I live. I don't know. I've been looking at so many maps and so many numbers and polls. Anyway, so real clear politics, back that off. So we don't have and folks understand this, we don't have a president-elect. Somebody says president-elect. No, we don't have one yet. But we got a little bit of a problem because we have a countdown built within the Constitution where our electors have to be identified or, you know, have to vote on December – what is it, December – the states have until December 8th, I believe, to certify their results or have their legislatures appoint electors to the Electoral College. And I know that we've got a margin of 26 states are held by Republicans. So what they can do is say, well, you guys haven't certified your vote? Man, I'll tell you what. And here it is December 8th at 11:59, we got this. We're going to send our own electors, and they're all voting for President Trump. And bada bing, bada bang, there you go. Okay, that's possible. The Electoral College, I believe, convenes on December 14th this year. But hey, you know, so
I was saying about Arizona. Slide 49 on my show images page. They're so close, Trump and Biden, because mm-hmm. Trump is closing the gap, that they're within a half a percent, 0.45% of being tied in Arizona. You know, and this is accepting whatever vote they've done, whether it's legal or not. At the moment, it's within that much. And if you find fraudulent votes come back in, it'll only take 10,000, 20,000 votes, something like that, to shift the balance to Trump there. We're not the only ones complaining about this. Slide 48, the head of NASA is Jim Bridenstine. And I put a link to the article about it. He says, I won't stay as head of NASA under a new president. And it's because he can't work with Biden. Democrat or whatever. Look at what effort President Trump and his administration put into reviving NASA, getting jobs done, advancing technology. Biden won't do that. He'll be cutting it back to like a tourist center or something like that and no real technical things like, let's make, some kind of a missile with nukes on it to intercept near approach asteroid and blow it up, serious things that would save us. Biden's going to cut off our access to that kind of technology if he takes over. He's not going to support NASA for the things it needs to. It's like the left, the international conspiracy left, really are through with America. Basically, they raped it for everything they could in intellectual property and money and, crops and all kinds of stuff. And they're going to throw us away. They don't care.
Well said. Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you brought up that international part because that's what this is the international cabal. People have a tendency, especially us here in the United States, we kind of think on a national level, but it's a more of an international cabal of, globalists, obviously, that they're doing this to us.
Mm. I don't know how long you've been on the trail of the Illuminati, the elite or whatever, how many years, but in 1978, I published that cosmic conspiracy with maps, interconnecting organizations and governments, how they all link together under the Great White Brotherhood to take down the United States and to rule the world. What was that, 42 years ago, I could see this happening, and a lot of us did. Why can't people see this? I mean, they're just letting this happen like lemmings running over the cliff. I would never have thought it would have been possible in this country.
No, I agree with you on that. And certainly I was late to the party, much, much later to the party with respect to that. And I tended to believe that was all conspiracy. And it wasn't really until after 9/11 that I started to realize, wait a minute, there's something totally, terribly wrong here. And I'll get that.
But you want to take Doug off the air? Why is that? Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
That would. That'd be about right.
Good timing, guy.
Yeah. I was late to the party, and your book was one of, I'm going to say one of the first that really introduced me to the international aspect of this. And then I gradually kind of got into it, and I saw, okay, you know, there's really a lot wrong with what's going on. And, I'm to the point now where I don't believe much of anything. I believe what's in the Bible. I believe in the Word of God. God said it. I believe it. That's it. Period. I believe in, you know, what I see. I believe in, but I do believe in this conspiracy because there's so much. I mean, the preponderance of evidence is so great. You know, it's just like the voting machines. When you start looking at who owns and controls the voting machines all across the country, I mean, you've got to say none of this is coincidental. It can't be. It can't be.
I've been involved with my dad in fighting the elite, if you wish, since 1960, 61 in that area. Dad was fighting the communists in this country as soon as he left the war theater in Saudi Arabia, Iran, in that area where he was based during the end of the war. He held back the Russians. He and the British contingent there on that base they shared at Abadan, they held back the Russians trying to take over the Middle East at that time. They supported, Patton, General Patton. There were a number of people that were aware that the war wasn't over. It just shifted from the fascist, Nazis over to the Russian communists. And as time passed, you know, I was recruited into the program down in Australia under Dr. Edward Teller. And there I gradually learned that we had this huge, or they had this huge international organization that was organizing the planet toward a one-world government with the help of, quote-unquote, aliens. And so for me, it wasn't a matter of looking for this place for evidence to support the conspiracy theory. I was involved in it without even knowing it. Certainly, we came to a parting of the ways within a year of joining, I was out. My first clue, actually, that I was going to have trouble with the group that had hired me was when they picked me up at the train station in Melbourne when I was first meeting my control agent, Sir John Williams. He and his driver were talking to me, going to the place where we had lunch at the Australian Club. Anyway, they threw an off-the-cuff remark about, you're not going to have so much trouble down here as you guys have in the States, where you have Jews in the stock market, Jews controlling everything. And, you know, I figured it probably wasn't a good time to tell them that, you know, my father was Jewish. But I knew right then that we were going to have trouble. And so that helped to separate me from them later. But, yeah, they're real. Conspiracy is real. Having met people that were involved in it there in Australia, I don't know if I met any of them here in the States. No, probably not. But anyway.
You're a control agent, you said.
Yeah.
That's like a handler?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir John was in charge of the Australian contingent of the Teller Research Project.
Because anyone who's been an operational asset for the FBI or for Department of Justice has a handler. And, you know, people take offense to that. I don't like to say, well, yeah, my handler, you know, but, okay. Okay. So it's a,
I had an FBI handler before I even joined the Teller Project. I was working on them for, international intrigues. In Dallas, I just happened to be placed where they needed a spy. I was already working there and had access to what they needed. And I'll never forget the morning they came into my office, which was just a desk and some stuff, and said, hey, handshakes, blah, blah, blah. I'm such and such, and this is my partner, such and such. Man, we'd like to make you an offer. And
that you know, really shouldn't refuse, but.
But would be true. I mean, of course, at that time, FBI, you know, was still in my good books. I'm thinking, you know, wow, you know, these are the good guys.
That's right. Yeah.
James Bond, Stan Dale, you know, these things run through your mind as these guys are talking. You think, okay, so what do I have to do? And so they told me, and who my contact or handler was there, and what number to use and what not to say or do on the phone and things like that. And
this is pretty cool. We can kind of, so did you get like a, I don't want to get too deep into the mechanics of it, but did you get a number and a name and then, a phone, like a number to call in the event of?
Yeah. Okay. It was actually within the FBI itself, but there was a thing I would leave with the secretary that answered that, a message, and then he would either come to my house, you know, at night or someplace like that, or sometimes come into the office. They tried to limit their visits because the whole place where I was wired with video and sound and stuff, monitoring everybody. But it was a young man's game because it certainly makes ulcers with the situations you get in on this.
But that was indeed. Yeah. Yeah, I remember, and too, back then, I don't know how much, if you've done, back in the day when you, I don't know how many, if you ever were wired, but boy, I'll tell you what, that was not fun because it's not like it is today where you, you know, anything, I mean, you know, the video can be the size of a pin as opposed to before it was, you know. Not that way.
Camera lens and stuff. Yeah. I only got caught once, and that was enough. The place was so filled with monitoring, you know, audio and video places that you never suspect. And I was fairly cautious. And but anyway, one time I pushed the wrong button, and a wall opened up and caught me. So I was just.
Were they playing cards behind the wall, eating pizza, or what? I mean.
Anyway, that was them. And, you know, right in the middle of all that's when there was a civil war inside the FBI at that time. For all what you might call his failings, Director Hoover was a very effective block against the communist infiltration of the country. And they had a project that he called Operation Illuminati to try to figure out who they were. And, the agent that was my handler told me about this and, shared some information back on what they were doing, and then I shared some back with them because where I was an Illuminist adjunct, anyway, that corporation. Anyway, when I went to Australia, I replaced the FBI with whoever security was, what, I don't know what we would call their company name. They were all part of the organization for Teller there, and they were multinational, I think. One of the security guys that I had there was a South African, and definitely he was like Odd Job in the James Bond movie. You know, he was tough, karate type thing, and you didn't mess with him. Oh gosh, so many places they were spying on us. Yeah,
man.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. You've heard the stuff about watermarking ballots and all that kind of stuff so that the FBI could catch illegal ballots. Mm-hmm. And even before it's news, in fact, if you look at slide 50 on my show news page, you click on that article. This came out the 8th of November on Sunday. Trump win validated by quantum blockchain system recount of votes. And what they say there is an invisible, unbreakable code watermark had been put on all the legitimate ballots. Now, okay, which states? It wasn't on every state. And how did they get that that ink or thing into the ballot in each state? Because they print their own ballots because they got local people running for different positions in the political scheme there. So what do you think? Do you think that they were actually able to put a watermark on these ballots?
Not in the way this – no. I personally, I don't believe that because – No. The short answer is no.
I mean, it just, the logistics of getting it there and not being detected, and especially using the FBI, which is not 100% pro-Trump, it would have leaked out to what they were doing. So,
yes.
Anyway, if they did, if they were able to do that, hey, great.
I would, if they were, what in the hell are we waiting for? Just say, hey, guess what? I understand that the printing process of the ballots is at a state level and involves different printers and acceptable printing companies that work with the government, the state and federal government at different levels. So I get all that. And I get the fact that, yeah, I suppose in smaller circles they could print watermarks or have watermarks, but to go this far with a quantum blockchain system, recount of votes, are you kidding me? They couldn't find their ass with both of their friggin' hands.
Oh, I know. I wondered if every state had to use the ballot paper, the blank paper that came from a federal source. If that were the case, then okay, those ballots would all have a watermark on it. But if the ballot paper were sent to all the states like that, they could still have used official ballot paper and printed 150,000 votes for Vice President Biden.
Sure.
Without any other things on it, it would still have a watermark. So I don't see how this could have been done.
God bless these people who believe that. God bless the people who trust the plan. How'd that work out for us? I'm sorry. I just think that right now we are kind of screwed to the extent that, when I say screwed, I mean, you've got commingling of ballots and, this certainly would be nice. Boy, you know, what a great idea. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh well.
Now on to the Biden, if he does take over and win the election somehow or another, Slide 51 says, Iran demands U.S. compensation. Biden must make up for Trump's mistakes. So that means that if he gets in, he's going to pay them more money and all the money they lost, with the restrictions, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. They're going to do it again.
Back the truck up, Stan.
Say again?
Back the truck up.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, load that money again.
Back up the truck with a pallet of cash. And, while you're at it, we'll take, Stan, why don't they drop off a pallet of bills at your place and one at my place, and we could solve a few problems.
Yeah. But make up for all of our hassles on the internet that they've caused.
Exactly. And you've seen the list of Biden, he's going to rejoin the Paris Accords. He's going to, fix the relationship with Iran. He's going to undo everything that President Trump has already done. And, you know what I can't understand? You're speaking of Jews earlier. What in the hell? I mean, Bibi Netanyahu calling up Biden and saying, hey, congratulations. Can't wait to work with you. I mean, of all the presidents in the entire history of the United States since Israel became a country in 1948, outside of perhaps Truman, Donald Trump has been the most generous to Israel. And this bozo, Biden, is going to undo things. What was that call all about? I mean, you might know more than I do, but I mean, was that just, tell me that was just.
Well, you have to understand in the United States, quite a high percentage of the Jewish people here favored Biden. They are Democrat leftists. And so Netanyahu has his own battles in Israel as far as retaining power. And he has to balance, as it is, several factions, several sub-parties to even run the country. It's by consensus with these groups and giving him positions on the, on his advisory table, at the table around the country. So that is a factor in affecting what he would say to Biden over the phone call. He has to make the appearance anyway of, okay, glad you're the president, and hopefully to be able to hold on to certain things like the U.S. presence there and military contracts and things like that to defend Israel. So he has to be, quote unquote, a politician,
right,
to try to find a path through all this nonsense to save Israel, you know, preserve it. I think there will be a number of people that say that Prime Minister Netanyahu is a Zionist, and therefore he's a conspiracist, and you know, he's a bad guy, they would say. And I don't know how to answer that. You know, it.
I know, I just kind of chapped my hide a little bit. You know, I mean, it just did. So it rubbed me the wrong way. And if President Trump, it turns out that President Trump is a clear winner of this election, which I have a feeling that I don't know how they're going to be able to, like I said, unscrew this. But I think that if they do an audit, not just a recount, I mean, I can recount anything. You're recounting bad ballots. So if you do an audit, which is very possible to be done. And it comes that where President Trump is the clear winner, which I believe he did win. I don't know where I was going with that statement, but that's what I think is going to take place.
You know, this election is, it's not only important to the United States, but to world peace in the Middle East. Look at Mohammed bin Salman, Prince bin Salman. He and President Trump had a pretty strong relationship, and there was, you know, arms deliveries and sales to them. And President Trump was even going to look at giving them some F-22 stealth fighters, not giving, but selling. And so now then, with Biden coming in, the defense posture that Saudi Arabia was going to have with President Trump in office is very weakened, if present at all. And this could throw a monkey wrench into the, you know, the move toward a peace treaty between Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. It might be that this is what it takes, is that America has to not support Israel, you know, with the Biden presidency. And this would, you know, allow the Muslim terrorists, you know, the Shiites, to move against Israel and against Saudi Arabia, because the Shiites and the Sunnis are at war there, Sunnis being the Saudis. And this would allow an invasion, an attack on Israel by Iran and its allies. If that happened, there would, and the Israelis defended themselves with the nuclear weapons they have, there would be an instant, you know, complaint from the members of the nations of the United Nations against Israel. Don't use the nuclear weapons. You know, how do we stop this? Can we make peace? Because this could spread to the entire world community. So all these things hang on this election result and the signing of that peace agreement between Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. It's a very incestuous mix of politics, you know, and religion in the Middle East and here. So it's not a simple who won the election thing. You know, it's whether we survive, you know, on the planet or not. It's really that important. But anyway, you can read about that.
Why can't people see that? You know, I look at people and I just wonder, how do you explain, how can I even pose the question? The question is really a complex one, and I'm not trying to make excuses for my posture at the moment, but you've got half of the population, or roughly half of the population, a polar opposite. I mean, everything from, you know, how do you like your eggs to the president of the United States, just a total opposite. How did that polarization develop? I guess I know the answer to that, But you know, we didn't fight hard enough. Back when McCarthy, I believe this, when McCarthy was saying, hey, you know, we got a problem. We got communists in government. You know, look, I get the fact that maybe he didn't, maybe he came off like President Trump or, you know, a drunk President Trump, or a drinking President Trump. I get that. I get that. Maybe his delivery wasn't the greatest, but he's right. And Diana West is right today. American Betrayal, A Red Thread. You're with the headlines that you and Holly put up. You're right. I mean, but how can people think today that everything is, you know, you get Biden in there, everything's going to be just.
Well, oh. We've been conditioned. I mean, we've known for since the Russian Revolution how the communists work, and they're patient. They're a multi-generational organization, and they know that training the youth, raising them in the way that the communists want them to think, takes a couple of generations, and certainly we've had two, now three. And this is why people aren't seeing what you and I are seeing, is they've been conditioned, you know, peer pressure and university, you know, training and logic has been bent toward the communist structure. That's why they can't see it. And of course, as the Bible says, there's a strong delusion been sent upon our people, the people of the world, which is why it's happening. But to those of us who can see these things, it is just, it is astounding. It's hard to believe. You can lay the evidence in front of the young people and they'll refuse it. There's just no, it's a, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're dismissed. I'm not going to listen. Anyway, hey, that's probably enough politics. Let's get over onto something like, earthquakes. Slide 46.
It's not a big one.
Yeah. Well, did the earth move for you type thing? Yeah.
Right, Ollie. Yeah. I love that. I love that laugh. I do. Let's have a big one.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, Ollie.
She says hi. Yeah. Oh, Lord. There's a video that goes with this on this slide. If you look at slide 46, the first part of it, if you click on the picture, they'll show you the picture of where these earthquake fractures are. They've increased in number since the Ridgecrest earthquake. But if you look at the little white dots between the word earthquake and video, then you can get to a video which explains all this and talks to you about it. And that, you know, that's important to see what happened. And the first part of there, if you link it to, it's a printed article. What the second part is, it's like, you know, a video. The organization that did this is the one that supplied me with the the sea bottom topo map, which I used to find the Garden of Eden and Atlantis, that kind of stuff. They even gave me a copy of that database to put on my, the imaging programs I used before they even gave it to Google, you know, for Google Earth. Eventually they gave it to them, but I had the beta test on it, and so I was able to see that. And this is that institution, Scripps Institute, that gave me all that information. And here they're now talking about the structure underneath the ground there. It needs to be remodeled because, yeah, there you go. You can see how the shock waves, the intensity of them spread out from the Ridgecrest earthquake series. And this just fits in with what the USGS has been saying here recently, is that they're looking for the big one.
That kind of looked like something from my youth or my younger days. The White Album and the color. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that must have been good coffee. Yeah. That is just, as I say, another factor for the people that are thinking and, looking at what we're talking about, what's out there in the news, that live in California and Oregon. You've got a little bit of time, but not a lot, to make your move east over the mountains to a safer place. A lot of people I've talked to that, are Christians over there said that they can't really sell their property because nobody's buying, in California. So they're stuck with either taking a loss or, you know, maybe renting it out to some person. But, it's hard to move from California at the moment because nobody's buying.
Yeah, it's amazing because certain parts of, you know, flyover country that you can't buy a house. People are buying them up so quickly. So, yeah, I can see why. But oh wow, look. So these are the These are not the good places to have real estate right at the moment.
No. We've talked, sadly, to some of the elderly people over there that lived on their property for, you know, most of their adult life. And, you know, as painful as it is, they know they have to move. But they're saying just no one even wants to look at buying a property from, you know, buying their house and stuff. That's very frustrating. But they've just waited too long, these people, that where possible, they should have moved some time back, several years ago, in fact. Anyway.
See, heed the warnings that you receive early and you wouldn't be in that predicament. That's right. And Prudent Places, USA, too. That's a Prudent Places is still relevant, more relevant today than ever before, actually.
I think there are about 65 somewhat different topics she addresses in Prudent Places, choosing the Prudent Place in the United States. And she's researched it with the government documents and things like that to show you, if you're going to live in Florida, for instance, what your threats or, you know, challenges might be, like flooding, hurricanes, subsidence, all these kind of things, lightning strikes, second or maybe number one in the United States for lightning strikes you'd have to deal with. And water getting polluted because you're so close to sea level that it seeps through the sand. It's basically filtered to a point. But, you know, and then all the creepy crawlies and crocodiles and alligators and snakes, boas and stuff that are breeding rapidly. So you could look at just that one state and start looking at 65 different variables she's checked.
Right.
I think it's 65, but it's in the 60s somewhere. Anyway, Holly, how many was it? How many variables on Prudent Places that you checked on? Was it 65 or something?
Yeah, but it was almost 3,400 counties. It's all done down to the county.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's not just a statewide. She's saying at a county level, you know, 3,400 counties, and each county is analyzed for these things. And that's just one thing, you know, lightning strikes, hurricanes don't apply to everybody. Tornadoes, where's Tornado Alley? Do I want to move there? And, political, you know, divisions, those have changed in this year and last year, but it shows Democrat and red, you know, propensities by the county. I'm just trying to think of all the other
religious
things.
Groups.
Religious groupings, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Ethnicities.
Whether it's PC or not, we cover it.
Did you hear my mouth say that?
You've got a nice voice, Stan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But didn't even
as she
your
said, she move. Didn't. She didn't hold back. She called a spade. It was not PC. She said exactly what we think and why.
And having seen it, there they are again. The NSA man, dead accurate as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. We learned a lot when she was researching and doing that book, just amazing things that came out. Now, of course, we don't have access, the public doesn't have access to some of the government sites that we use to get the information. So things may change a bit, but this helps people. You know, one of the major factors that I tell people when they ring and say, well, okay, we've got the thing here, but how do we choose? And I say, well, look at your own situation. Are you needing to be close to a hospital more than others, you know, are you elderly? Is your income dependent upon your location? Personally, I say to them, if you live on the coast of Australia, you live on the coast of the United States or Canada, you face some real problems from, you know, tidal surges, you know, from hurricanes and storms, from subsidences, you know, California, that coastline there is on the Cascadia subduction zone, and you could sink. I mean, there's volcanoes to worry about there. Over on the East Coast, you have terrific storms coming from the Atlantic, and you do have some, you know, hurricanes that go all the way up, toward Canada. So coastal regions, you know, and in the Gulf, you know, of Mexico, all these areas have coastal weather that and invasion points for a foreign invasion if they attack us, Russia or China. You know, coastal areas are the first to get hit. So,
you know, and that's the other thing too. I mean, it definitely goes through everything, but, I'll tell you what, as you point out in conversation, kind of the four corners, Utah, what are the states there? four corners.
Yeah.
That might be the best, probably.
Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado.
Four right. Corners. What you said, that might be the kind of the better place to hang out. Right.
It kind of boils down to that. Again, as I say, each person has different priorities, you know. How close it is to our children, where they live, you know, medical income, you know, all these factors that each person has to individually say, in my situation, I can do this, I can do that. The good Lord put Holly and I here on the east side of the Rockies, right close to where the backup is for the government, continue to govern there at Cheyenne Mountain, back, you know, west of that a bit. Yeah, this area here all the way down to the Four Corners is probably a prime real estate if you can get it. Mind you, the prices out here are incredible at the moment. They're just you don't see your house go up 25% in value just all of a sudden like this unless there's a big movement to get here.
Yeah, I've noticed the tremendous fluctuation of housing prices. And those people who are looking to move for whatever reason, I get that, and I get the fact, well, I can't move because of family or because of, you know, whatever commitments. I mean, my wife and I have talked about moving, and it's just, you know, boy, I'll tell you, the older you get, it could be easier or harder depending on the family structure and commitments and such. But, you know.
And how much junk you have to move.
Well, junk you can sell, I guess. But yeah, you're right. I mean, how much junk? And boy, yeah. If that's one thing I could tell people or recommend to people, the freedom that you get by, not that this matters. What are we talking about? But the freedom that you get by selling the junk that you've got. So you don't have any junk. And it's great. It's great. I've done that. So
we did that down in Australia when we were, you know, leaving the farm to come here. Of course, we had a lot of things that we had to put into a stretched, cargo, container, their C-tainer. We decided to sell off a lot of stuff that, you know, we weren't going to use because they were straight. Sorry, what?
We've been here 20 years. Does he realize how grim that would be? It'd take a bulldozer.
Yeah, we have been here 20 years. But when we left Australia, just before we did, well, we were selling off stuff. And I found it quite fun because the little mining town that we had a community, you know, garage sale all the time and on weekends. And I found it great to barter with people. Now, this set of forks here, you really need this because, you know, and Holly just laughs. She says, you're in your element there, you know, the people buying stuff were playing back, you know, okay, but I'll give you this and trade you that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She's saying this is me. Yeah. That, like that. But, yeah, it's the Irish. It's the Irish.
Oh man. You know, I 20 years, huh? So you do have quite a bit of stuff and that's it. I mean, my wife and I have been together forever. So it seems like it's like, boy, you know, I didn't realize we had pictures from the day we got married. Of course you keep that stuff, but, not the cupcakes from the day you got married, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it's just something.
As a survivalist or a prepper, you know, you look at things that, I bet I could use that jar for something later. I better keep it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yes. I looked at a lot of the better keep it's and, thinking, well, maybe some of these are better trash it. We've got to have some room here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it's a mental thing too. And then you get into that's why I break into a kind of a flop sweat when I see, you know, hoarders on TV. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I don't ever want to turn out to be like that, you know, where you've got stuff that you're
Absolutely. Of course, mixed with us, we've got book stock and things that we sell on our, you know, shopping cart and website and stuff. And you got to stock that, you know, stacks of this, stacks of that, shelves of this. Yes. So
that's right. You ship your own, which.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, look, everything that comes out of here is personally wrapped and by Holly and stamped by me. So it's people ring up and say, you must have people answering the phone for you all the time. I said, no, it's just Holly and I and the dogs, and they don't answer too much. So the two of us run the orders, answer the phones, do the news updates and whatever. And
show.
That's what people love about you. And I'm serious. People do love that one-on-one embracement with you folks and engagement with you folks, I should say. So that's really cool. I think
we try to answer emails that aren't silly, you know, requests. Yeah. People got issues they don't know how to resolve, or, you know, questions about how to do this and that. And we answer them as best we can.
I can't keep. I mean, I looked the other day, and I'm so far behind in emails. I'm thinking, oh, I'll never get connected. I mean, I still have emails I haven't answered from September. So, I don't know. Does that count? I guess I don't know. So
I'm trying to see here. I don't know whether this tells me. Let me see here now. I have somewhere over 30,000. Email persons, you know, like a folder for them that we have to keep active. And so you got to file your answers, file the questions into their bucket. And Hey, quickly here, let's see, what have we got? About 2 minutes or 1 minute or something like that?
No, we've got 3 minutes.
Okay. Slides 40, 41, 42 are a current look at the sun. Slide 40, if you click on the picture there, you see a nice big picture of the magnetic field lines coming out of the sun in the 193 angstrom bandwidth. This is a pretty big, you know, group of sunspots. It's almost like one sunspot down in the lower right. And over in the lower left, you can see two bright spots, one above the other. And those are heading around to phases. Now look at slide 41. Same day, same stuff, different wavelength. And this shows the polarity of the sunspot, which is a bunch of little sunspots together, the blue being one pole and the orange being the other pole. And you can see over on the left side of the sun down there that the bigger sunspot coming around is it's going to be lower than this one. So the likelihood of an Earth-directed halo is pretty low. We might get clipped by something if it comes around and shoots at us. But basically, within the next about 5 days, those on the horizon there on the left will move over to about the middle of the sun. If you look at slide 42, you can see that in the wraparound heliograph, which shows two-thirds of the sun, because one of the satellites failed. But on the right, you see the bright sunspot we're looking at now. And on the left, where the yellow arrow is, that's showing you what's coming around the horizon. And so it's saying this time the one on the lower left, you know, the left lower part is the one that's going to be the one that's going to be the strongest. And so the one above it will have to intensify over the next 28 days, in the next cycle, before we see any action from that. And that could produce something more Earth-directed. Okay, very.
Even the sun's angry, right? I mean, it seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah. You can look at your own time. Slides 43, 44 are talking about asteroid Apophis. Something I didn't even think about. And a lot of people that were doing tracking of asteroids and stuff like that never thought about was the pressure of the light from the sun will move a large asteroid over a period of time away from its orbit that you've calculated. So just the solar light pressure beating on Apophis has moved it enough that they're looking at a 2068 possible impact onto the planet here. Isn't that incredible? Light. Just pressure of light.
The pressure of light?
Yeah. Haven't you ever played one of these little science gadgets, which is a bulb and has a little vein in it that spins on a needle?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know what you're talking about.
Well, when you use the cross-sectional area of an asteroid, a huge thing, and let the sunlight, you know, hit that, then you can see that it acts like a sail a little bit. It's not huge, and it takes, you know, several orbits.
You're right. Wow. I never gave that a thought.
Neither did I.
All right, folks, on your own, homework, 43, 44, 45, there you go. In fact, the entire show page. It was just a pleasure speaking, kind of a release valve talking with you. So thank you.
It's good to have a sense of humor in all of this and try to see that with all the grip.
That's right. All right. We're out of here. Good night, Stan. Good night, Holly.
Good night. She's going up to do something. Bye-bye.